in the black sedan, or would you hop inside my car? I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man, and I can take you to the nearest star.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you. Oh, I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants. Except how to put on a pair of headphones, apparently.
I'm fighting with the headphones.
Yeah, that's going to strangle you.
I know. It's terrifying. It's like this octopoidal thing that's happening to me here. Well, the thing is, the headphones I have on, they're... oh, good Lord. So I was listening to the music. Lovely music. What was that selection you started with?
It was the band's called The Ides of March.
Oh, very good. So. Yes. So that was nice, except in my headphones it sounded like a cross between, I don't know, a washboard and a nuclear explosion. So let me just get this other headphone here and see if it sounds any better. All right.
While you're doing that, I'm going to thank everybody who made donations to the station the last couple weeks during our winter fundraiser, and it was successful. We got rid of winter. I think spring is going to come.
The way things are now, winter didn't stand a chance. There we go. Oh, I can hear a dulcet tone.
This winter brought to you by ExxonMobil.
Yeah, right. There we go. All right.
So are you happy now?
I'm exceedingly happy because I can hear you and you sound really good.
Yeah, I do good. I do good.
You do good?
I do good talk.
You do good talk. Yes, I noticed that about you.
So.
All right. Now I'm going to get these bad, nasty headphones here.
But in addition...
There's your professional opening right there. That's what you're paying
for. All the people who pledged and donated to the station the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's what you're paying for right here.
We reached 90% of our goal. And that's terrific. But two of our faithful donors who weren't satisfied with 90%, they want us to reach our goal. They've issued a challenge grant of $5,500 to make that possible. So every dollar we receive through Monday, March 18th, will be doubled. So if you didn't have a chance to donate... you can get another...
you might want to donate on St. Patrick's Day.
There you go. We'll probably get a lot of blotto.
and just open your wallet.
Won't even know you did it.
Next day, it'll be totally gone.
It's like drunk shopping, you know? What is this? A dual blender.
Yeah.
You can donate at WRTFM.org. You can get... maybe a Weirdo for Wart hoodie or a crossbody bag.
Or you can just be a Weirdo for Wart.
Well, that comes free.
You don't need a hoodie to prove it. Come on.
So you can double your pleasure, double your fun.
So we have, you said you had two longtime donors to the station who are challenging other people.
They threw up $5,000
to step up
$500 to get us up to the 100%.
That is wonderful.
So you can, like I say, double your pledge if you do that before Monday. So
excellent.
WRTFM.org or call the station. We'd probably take your money.
In addition to shaming you into giving more, we want to thank those of you who gave us money.
Both
last week and the week before, we had some very generous pledges here on the show.
It's always fun to hear from the people, too, even the little comments. It's always fun when we interact with, like when we go out in the summer and hang out at the festivals.
Best,
and I'm always amazed at the things people come up and talk to us about or things that people remembered from.
Yeah.
I remember when you said this, you know, about... George Herbert Walker Bush. You know?
We don't remember what we say 5 minutes after we leave the station.
I'm serious. I think people.
It's all id.
People think I'm joking, but it's just total stream of consciousness.
Exactly.
It's a therapy session, but
it's a lot cheaper than therapy. But, you're paying for it, the listener.
Yeah, but to show how far the station has come.
Yeah.
I pulled up here to, about half an hour ago to do the little show, and found a parking space. Despite the sports events going
on. You had to slice your way through a wall of human flesh, as I recall.
There's a lot of sports fans out and about.
Have you ever seen a more aptly named SUV than the Suburban? There were a lot of those out there today.
I always like the ones that make it sound like you're, climbing the Adirondacks or something.
Canyonero.
Exactly. But anyway, so I found a parking spot, came up to the station, and we have old chairs out by the curb. We took some old chairs and put them up by
that.
For people to take.
Yeah.
And we used to be on the other end of that.
Yes.
And so,
ooh.
So we're moving up in the food chain a little bit after 40 years.
So we're generating detritus now rather than simply picking it up from others.
If Norm was still here, he'd be out there bringing the chairs back in.
Yeah. A little duct tape will fix this right up.
Not that we're in like luxurious million dollar chairs.
By the way, I'm making sure because Shali, our wonderful news public affairs coordinator, saved these old fashioned wooden metal little chairs from like grade school.
Yeah, you were talking about that.
Yeah, and she saved two of them, and so I'm making sure that every week I make full use of the little wooden chairs because she was so kind as to keep those for me. And I feel kind of like, the late Glenn Gould when he played the piano. He said to have like a weird little stool that he sat on.
I totally get that.
I miss my lucky chair. I sit in this chair and I immediately feel like, okay, I'm ready for the show now.
Yeah, yeah. So when I worked for the deep state, we had like the worst office supplies. And I would go out and buy my own pens and things just because I couldn't stand to, have this 15-year-old half-used Bic pen. That's in the supply cabinet.
With a picture of Tommy Thompson on it. I'm just giving these away. Yeah, you can have them. We had a governor. For those of you who don't know, we had a governor here in Wisconsin who... I think he was going to be governor for life, and then he got torn away from his job.
So he had presidential.
Didn't he get elected four times? Is that right?
I don't remember.
Three or four? I can't remember. Yeah. He seemed like he was going to be the governor.
He had mild presidential ambitions, but then he ended up in the cabinet.
They locked him in there with the liquor where he belonged.
That was a mistake.
Yeah, right. There's no gin in here. You left Tommy in there.
One time, Tommy's entourage flew out to California for the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
and they pulled into the hotel, and it was a little late, and the hotel bar had closed.
Yeah.
And Tommy used his authority as governor of Wisconsin to force them to open the bar.
It was a proud moment for us all.
He did. He declared martial law or something. I don't know how he did it, but and then they drank them out of brandy.
Right. Oh yeah, of course, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I remember him during the was at the Rose Bowl. He was on television and they were interviewing him, and he was so sloshed that the commentators made a comment about it. It's like, well, there's the governor of Wisconsin. He seems very happy.
How appropriate. Yep, he was elected to the office four times.
Four times,
from 87 till 2001, and that's when he quit to go to Washington.
Yeah.
So.
I remember. He was the Secretary of
Health and Human Services.
Health and Human Services.
Yeah, because of the welfare reform that he
initiated. The welfare deform, yes. That guy really knows how to screw things up. We'll put him in charge of that. Yeah. Oh well.
Looks pretty good nowadays.
Yeah, he does. Isn't that frightening? Do you know what I'm reading this book right now? I really encourage people to read it. The title is "One Nation Under Guns," and it was reviewed recently in the New York Times. And I don't normally just rush right out and buy a book based on what the New York Times says, but I've been reading it. And it's an excellent. It talks about the history of gun use in the United States, the Constitution, the very badly decided Heller decision. But one thing that I was amused by that just shows you again how far we have fallen is there was a Republican president who was very much against the NRA and against individual handgun possession back in the day. And can you guess who that was?
Richard Nixon.
You bet. There's a bunch of expletive deleted references to the NRA on the tapes. And I can't use the language, but you can imagine about why does every single you-know-what have to have a gun. Mm-hmm. He was just really outraged by this. And the writer of the volume says, Despite his cynicism and boundless will to power, in many ways, Richard Nixon was a traditional Republican.
That's true.
And I thought, yeah, that shows you a lot, doesn't it? It really does.
In contrast, text messages came out from the January 6th and the Trump staff people, you know, the people who were not organizing the assault on the Capitol.
Yeah, right.
And
busily not organizing.
And before the attack, they were all, you know, gathering, and there were Secret Service people reporting that they have people were there with guns,
yeah.
And there was a guy in a tree with a gun, and Trump said, "Well, I don't care, they're not after me."
Yeah.
I mean, literally, you know, it's like, no, I'm...
Yeah. What are we getting these guns for?
Yeah. Yeah. To
overthrow tyranny, and we all get to decide what that is.
I mean, that to me is like the big eye-opener when somebody pointed out that, okay, all this is going on, and they didn't whisk the president away to, like, a safe bunker, safe location. I mean, he stood there and watched it, and...
Well, he wanted to be whisked closer, as
yeah,
I recall.
I know. It's like, okay, that...
He didn't actually fight with the Secret Service, but he got pretty close,
yeah,
apparently.
So, I mean, that really tells you that, you know, that when they say, I wasn't involved in this, I had nothing to do with it, it's like, well, then why weren't you afraid? Like,
he was wearing his brown shirt, so he felt that would be color-coded
for the
occasion.
And his brown underwear, too.
Yeah, right. No, that was the vice president.
So, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers renewed his promise to veto a bill passed by the Republican-controlled legislature that would ban high school transgender athletes competing on girls' teams,
yeah,
saying he will be damn proud to do it.
All right.
He'd repeated his earlier veto promise, this was a few days ago, but moments after the state Senate passed the measure on its final planned meeting of the day of the session. I'll keep my promise to veto any bill making Wisconsin less safe, less inclusive, and less welcoming to LGBTQ people and kids, including this one. And I'll be damn proud to do it.
All right. No mealy-mouthing there. Hey, by the way, there's a Republican group right now that's anti-Trump. I know it's hard to believe, but there is. Actually, if you look at the numbers, I think it was like 28, 29, somewhere around there, almost 30% of people in the primaries who were registered Republicans who voted in those primaries actually did not vote for the former president. So they're hoping that there's a little group in there that maybe they could appeal to in the upcoming election. And this group is called the Republican Voters Against Trump. And they first emerged back in 2020, and then they showed up again during the 2022 midterms. It's run by a woman by the name of Sarah Longwell, and she's been in Never Trump politics for a while now, and she's got focus groups and polling and all sorts of other things to tell her that there are some persuadable people on the Republican side who may not like the Democrats, but on the other hand, dislike the former president even more. So what they're planning to do is they're just planning to spend about $50 million in advertising, and I've talked to people that do this kind of work for a living. This is the best way to do it. Getting homemade testimonial videos of voters who backed him back in the past elections, but say that this is too much for them for 2024. This personal testimonial style has proved more successful than just about any other strategy. And I know if I told you this, I was recently talking to someone who does this kind of media work, and she was working on climate change. And I said, how can you get people to acknowledge the reality of climate change? And she said, if we just had 10,000 uncles. All sitting down at Thanksgiving and saying,
"That'd be a lot of gas."
But if we could get those 10,000 uncles to just sit down and say, "Hey, you know, there's this climate change problem," you know,
yeah,
that's how people change their minds.
Sure.
They often don't do independent assessment; they find people they trust. It's not really important to understand. It's really important to understand we're not building a pro Joe Biden coalition, Ms. Longwell said. We're just building an anti Trump one, and of course, in a system like ours, where you only have basically, realistically, two choices, that's an important thing to try to do.
I'm voting for Aaron Rodgers.
Well,
he's done his research.
Yeah. We couldn't have got rid of him fast enough, could we? That was good on us. That guy was going to be trouble.
He's going to run for vice president, and then Fauci's going to play quarterback for the Jets. Because he's studied it, and
yeah, right.
He's figured out how to do it.
Right, right.
Done his own research on football. And oh, my. So.
Hey, I got a little message here from the Department of Natural Resources.
Yes.
And you probably are aware of this already, but especially since this week's going to be especially breezy, you might want to pay attention. Warm temperatures, low humidity, and breezy conditions.
Fire?
Yes. Do not burn anything outdoors. Mm. We are at an elevated fire danger throughout the state of Wisconsin.
How about witches? We can still burn witches. I think they snuck that through the legislature.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, well, you definitely can in Alabama. So
it was a writer on something Evers missed right, and signed it.
The National Weather Service has said that breezy southwest winds are going to be coming up. I think it's going to be like 15 miles an hour winds or something, 20 miles an hour winds. It's going to be pretty intense. Anyway, they said, DNR said in a statement on Tuesday that they've already responded to more than 50 wildfires across Wisconsin just this week. And that's a lot. So knock it off. it's going to be very windy. So last year at this time, there had only been 7 wildfires in Wisconsin. So the number has expanded quite dramatically. So if you'd like to know more about this, check the DNR's website. And their website is appsdnr.com. .wi.gov. So, and you can find more information there. .gov, as they say. Gov.
A pastor has claimed that Jesus hasn't returned to Earth because, do you know why?
I don't know. Joe Biden.
Close. People are not donating enough cash to their churches.
Oh, Lord.
The evangelical pastor Jesse Duplantis was speaking during a 4-day event titled Victory-thon, which aired on the Victory Channel when he made the claim.
We can learn a little bit from that guy.
He brags about being a multimillionaire with his own private plane.
That's because God loves him.
And then he tells viewers they can speed up the return of Christ by donating him cash. Yeah. He said that if congregations handed over more money, they could speed up Jesus' return. He said, I honestly believe this.
I'm sure he does.
the reason why Jesus hasn't come back is because people are not giving the way God told them to give.
Yeah, just like in the Bible. Where do these people come up with this stuff? It's kind of like... It's that whole, I mean, what can I do, Lord, to have eternal life? Follow the commandments. I do that already, great teacher. Then you must give up all your money to the poor.
No, the eye of the needle is actually.
It's a gate.
It's a gateway. Yeah. It's a gate there.
Yeah, I love how those fundamentalists make it up as down on the fly when they don't like it.
Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson was speaking on one of those weird little right wing networks or whatever they are.
But, Onan.
The bubble. Yeah. The seed spilling
the seed
network.
Yeah, exactly.
He was in an interview and he said, we need to get a result. We need to effectively. Oh, he says he doesn't like it when Republicans say we need to get results. We need to effectively govern.
Yeah.
To me, that's almost code words for we got to be Democrat light. I think we'd be far better off if we never passed another piece of legislation.
Yeah, because what they really want is not anarchy, but rule by the very, very rich. Yeah. So they want a plutocracy. Yeah. Plutocracy, that'll sort everything out.
Yep.
And
well, then you have the good people making decisions.
Yeah,
because
they're
smart, because they're rich.
They're efficient. They know how things. They knew how to use resources.
And they own land, and they're white.
Yeah,
and they're male.
Yeah. I mean, we had that. It was the Middle Ages. What could go wrong?
We've got like 20,000 years
of
practice on this, and we know exactly how this plays out.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done this for as I say, since we learned how to plant things.
It's been 100 years since fascism became a thing, and we're indulging in that again.
Yeah.
Doesn't even have to be that ancient. We have models readily available.
I'm just
to
saying
us.
We have a lot of data.
Tons of data. Yeah, you're totally right. But I'm just like in this whole fascination with fascism is like, okay, so that was pretty recent.
Yeah.
There's films of that. If you're having a hard time reading a book or something, you got pictures on that one. And somehow it still seems attractive. Look at those lovely costumes.
There was some story. A lot of these weird stories leak out years later because people are cowards. But the former, was it Kelly, was the former chief of staff for Trump?
Yeah.
And he was saying that that Trump would just go around talking about how great Hitler was.
Oh, yeah.
Because he, like, you know, accomplished so much and got the economy going and everything. And Kelly would try to talk him down on that.
Yeah.
You know, enough with the Hitler hay stuff. <you know? laughs>
They're all rolling their but not Hitler hay again.
But they had to do it kind of like with methadone, where he would say, let's talk about Mussolini.
My favorite fascist dictator.
He was better. He was a little bit, you know, play up the Mussolini a little bit, leave the Hitler stuff off to the side there.
And wow.
So, I mean, they had to kind of wean him off of Hitler.
So Mussolini is the methadone of dictators. Okay. It's good to know. I've always wondered where his ranking was, you know.
I do like that they strung him up upside down when they finally had enough of him. I think that's a good model.
Mm, so. Boy, that really creates a fantasy in my mind. Sorry. Can I say that? Probably not.
A man in Green Bay was taken into custody after an alleged disturbance on the city's east side. According to the criminal complaint, 42-year-old D's Nuts Kroll was arrested. For an incident.
I'm going to change my name tomorrow.
Incident involving a gun.
D's Nuts Pants.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't his given name. But that's on
the name he gave.
That's on his official ID.
Excellent.
He showed the cops. So that's his legal name, D's Nuts Kroll.
That's a good name.
And D's Nuts is in a little trouble up in Green Bay.
Does that end with a Z? Or?
Yeah.
No, okay. Oh, very good. Yeah. Right. I want to make sure he spelled it right.
I think it's hyphenated, too.
So the Biden administration is, just to give you a little lowdown on what they're up to these days, they're recommending $118.1 million in federal funds for the second phase of Madison's bus rapid transit system. And this transit system, it's going to start from the north side, it's going to run through downtown, and then it's going to go to... It says Fitchburg. Have you ever heard of that?
No. It'd be a typo.
Somewhere it's going to end up in the land of Oz. In late 2024, the city is going to launch BRT. That's the bus rapid transit system. It's going to be a high frequency, high capacity, limited stop service using elongated electric buses running on city streets and dedicated lanes. So the initial route is going to go from East Town to West Town. And then that's one. And then the second is going to be North South. And it's going to start in 2028. So the Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg, just this Monday announced recommendations for 14 large transit projects in 11 states. And we were one of them. So there's about $4 billion total that's coming from basically the infrastructure support bill that was passed in the previous Congress. Let's see. Buttigieg said public transportation connects people to jobs, school, family, and more. And when transit reaches more people and communities, its impact is even greater. So they hope that the second route, which of course is the one that will open in 2028, is going to help underserved communities and low-income populations. It's going to be 5.2 miles of exclusive bus lanes, stations, and they're going to have battery electric buses.
Hmm. Does it mention how it would affect the smarty pants? Stops, because I know you like it when they stop.
I'm assuming based on my past experience, it'll be all smarty pants all the time.
Yeah, so. It'll just stop right in front whenever you need it.
I'm figuring that's exactly it'll
kinda,
be
kind of like a big Uber.
It'll quietly purr up to my front door.
You down.
Very cheerful man will come out. And yes, that's right. Take me down on a big pink pillow.
Like a big fireman, a shirtless fireman.
Shirtless fireman, a big pink pillow will set me down and off we'll go. It'll be great. I'm looking forward to it. No, the joke is...
I amuse myself.
Well, yeah, well, the joke of it is, I benefited from the bus transfer structure they've got now. I mean, the bus system I got now. I'm just, look at you. That paints a picture, doesn't it?
Such a picture. With a big mustache.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Oh, God. you know, some, because of the fundraiser, I have some stories here I couldn't get to, but I did. I still want to share them.
Even
they might be a little dated, but there was the remember the Iditarod, the dog sled racing.
You bet.
So a guy named Dallas Seavey was participating in it, and he got penalized a little bit. Because a moose attacked his dogs.
Oh no!
And he killed the moose, which is fine.
Okay.
But he did not sufficiently.
Now we don't want to hear from the moose lovers. Yeah. this was self defense. Okay.
Yeah, he was protecting the dog.
Yes, he's protecting the dogs.
He's penalized for 2 hours penalty. I mean, they added it to his time.
Okay.
You know why?
Why?
Because he did not sufficiently gut the moose.
Ah, well, there you go.
That's like if you're in like a NASCAR and you stop and you don't recycle your oil or something.
Yeah,
it's
look, you gotta do the job right. Come on. Wow.
That's Alaska for you.
Yeah,
you killed the moose, but you didn't. Too bad Sarah Palin wasn't there. Cause
she
always bragged about
it. She did with her teeth.
She could field dress a moose, she always said.
Right. So. That's right. That's right. Yeah, people always overlook the moose gutting paragraph of their contracts. It's a common mistake.
Oh, that's a bad job of gutting that moose there, Neil.
Oh, yeah. Neil. That's perfect name.
The Florida Senate passed a measure that
don't even get me started.
could lead to the history of communism being taught in grades as low as kindergarten.
What?
It was approved 25-7 and would need approval from the House before it could go to the desk of Ron DeSantis. We know how that'll go. Under the bill, the State Department of Education would be directed to prepare and offer educational standards related to communism history instruction and would require certain concepts to be included. Mm. The curriculum would have to include lessons on the increasing threat of communism in the United States and to our allies throughout the 20th century and the economic, industrial, and political events that have preceded and anticipated communist revolutions.
Are they going to talk about child labor in the 19th century?
The Senate, the sponsor, Jay Collins from Tampa, has warned that young people are increasingly viewing communism in a positive light.
I wonder why.
Here's what I know about communism. It doesn't care what race, creed, color, gender, sexual identification, ideology you come from. It will destroy your life and your family's life completely the same, he said.
No, it doesn't care about that. That's why it was such a popular view.
I thought when he was leading, when they started that sentence, it's like, where are you going with this?
He's a Florida senator. That's bad. All those things that came before that last part were bad,
too. The whole diversity thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it was a popular view for a lot of people because it wasn't racialist and it wasn't xenophobic. And, you know, people who had been left out of a lot of things were being included. I mean, it was the only party that was like not a segregationist party in the United States in the mid 20th century. I mean, you know, it's like, why you wonder why it was popular.
One time when I lived in Minnesota, there was some minor state election, like the treasurer or secretary of state or something. And the two major candidates were both horrible, horrible. I mean, one didn't even live in Minnesota, and another one was like convicted of all kinds of fraud and stuff. And there was a communist candidate, and the communist candidate got like 20% of the vote.
when I come up to the buffet. And if it doesn't have a sneeze guard on it, I won't eat it. I mean, come on. You got one candidate with a sneeze guard. I'm taking that one. I'm sorry.
Did you see the head of the European Union sent a congratulatory message to Vladimir Putin on his landslide victory.
Oh.
For the re-election.
For president. The election's over. I didn't realize.
No, he said it 3 days before the election.
Moi. That's it. Right on.
That's good trolling.
Yeah, that really is. Yeah, I thought he was still running because he's kind of like doing ixnay on the Uclear Neptune's way right now.
He's running toward the middle.
Yeah, like he's running towards the middle. Yeah, I'm not going to blow up your right away. Yeah.
Do you like the graphic I sent you a while ago? It was the a picture of a ballot for the Germany's elections in 1936.
Oh yes, oh yes.
It had one name.
One name. You can check it or you can get investigated. Those are your choices. Well, the other one, the ones that they had, so I've seen other ballots from the Nazi era, and one of the ones they had a referendum. Every now and then they would change the constitution thing and they put it up for a referendum. And what they would do when they didn't have just one choice, they would have a choice like, yeah, and it would be a giant circle, and nein would be this little tiny circle. So, like, if you needed to know which one to pick, it kind of helped you a little bit, you know. It still looked like maybe it was you could have a choice, but the ya was a lot bigger than the nine. a lot bigger.
Isn't there a Simpsons one time where Homer was trying to vote for somebody on an electronic machine, and it was like a video game? It kept moving if he was selecting the wrong candidate. Hey, we have to take a break, play some announcements, and then come back with what you got.
Oh, let's see. What do I got here? Oh, most teens are happy without smartphones.
Really?
A surprising result.
You're kidding.
Yep.
Wow.
The 2024 Wisconsin Film Festival is coming to Madison Thursday, April 4th through Thursday, April 11th. This year's festival boasts over 140 films of all shapes and sizes, including the best cinema has to offer from all over the world and right here in Wisconsin. We've got experimental, animated, and student films, as well as documentaries, restored classics, films for kids, and more. For the first time in years, we'll be returning to both the Bartell Theater and the Barrymore Theater. Plus, we've expanded on the UW campus into Music Hall, and we are heading east to Flick's Brewhouse at the Easttown Mall. The Wisconsin Film Festival curates, promotes, and exhibits programs that showcase the art of cinema. A complete festival guide is available in the March issue of Isthmus and online, and tickets are available at wifilmfest.org. The 2024 Wisconsin Film Festival is coming to a screen near you, Thursday, April 4th through Thursday, April 11th. Helping keep local arts alive for almost 50 years, this is WORT Madison.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com. The Barrymore Theater presents Dan Savage's Hump 2024 Film Festival on Saturday, March 16th. Hump is a curated festival of short erotic films made by real people for real people. The filmmakers and stars show us a cornucopia of body types, shapes, ages, colors, sexualities, genders, kinks, and fetishes, all united by a shared spirit of sex positivity. The Hump Film Festival is now in its 19th year of redefining how we see erotic things on the screen, and it's coming to the Barrymore Theater on Saturday, March 16th at 7:30 p.m. Bringing you entertainment for the mind and the body for over 45 years, this is WORT 89.9 FM Madison and WORTFM.org.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
And we're back. We did have an announcement for the Wisconsin Film Festival coming up. And
yep.
I just want to mention we'll be doing our annual remote with this show. And I don't know, there's a lot of things are up in the air. There might be some other things. But I believe we're going to be at the Bartell Theater. Oh. You won't be able to be
there. I won't be able to be.
Because of a conflict.
Yeah,
and,
I do.
But we'll see. I don't know. We'll work it out. But it should be fun. I don't know who we're going to have yet, but it's preliminary. But just want to let you know we're going to be live again. I believe down
we'll
at the
be
bar.
Putting our oar in, as they say, as usual. So. Hey, nearly 3/4 of U.S. teens say they feel happy or peaceful when they don't have their phones with them. This is according to a new report from the Pew Research Center. We love the Pew people.
We
They're
do.
So great. This was published on Monday, and they found that despite the positive associations with going phone-free, however, most teens have not limited their phone or social media use. So it's the problem. They're addicted, basically. People are saying, I feel better when I don't have it, and yet they're unable to not have it. Despite increasing concern, most teens say smartphones make it easier to be creative and pursue hobbies. 45% say that it helps them do well in school. On the other hand, they feel better when they don't have them. some other findings from this survey, about half of parents, around 47%, say they limit the amount of time their teen can be on the phone, while about half don't do this. Nearly 2/3, about 64% of parents of 13 to 14 year olds say they look through their teen's smartphone, compared with 41% among parents of 15 to 17 year olds.
That's a weird contradiction in our brains, because we'll do something like that and then we'll feel better, but then we slide right back into it. I mean, and that goes for anything. I mean, I feel better when I get more exercise, when I get outside, when I eat better, when I sleep better.
Yeah.
And but then, you know, I'll do that for a few days and it's like, eh, never mind.
We seem to have this ability, our little monkey brains have this ability to create technology that's really bad for us, and we can't seem to get rid of it. So, you know, gin, nuclear weapons, smartphones, you know, it's all in a big basket. It's like the world would be a lot better without any of these. You know, what was wrong with beer and wine? You know? Well, I want to be able to give myself alcohol poisoning, of course. You know, just, things like that, you know, nuclear weapons. Well, you know, what about swords? I don't know. It would slow things down a bit, but no, we can't do that. One thing they did find out, this is at a different study, it was done by the JMA Pediatrics, they found out, this was also published on Monday, by the way, that toddlers who use basically have a lot of screen time, they end up, because they hear less back and forth exchanges with adults and so on, that their language skills are somewhat slowed down in terms of language acquisition and use from children who do not spend a lot of time, apparently, on screens. Previous studies on the impact of technology mostly examined parents' use of a mobile device, you know, like how often are the parents interacting with the child. But they're focusing now, because it's so much more frequent, on a child's use of screens. And they monitored it rather than relying on self-reported measures. And that's always a hard one. Self-reported stuff that people never remember these things. And especially if you're talking about a child. So the study was led by Mary E. Brush. She's a researcher at the Telethon Kids Institute at the University of Western Australia, and she gathered data from over 200 families across South Australia, West Australia, Western Australia, and Queensland. And they found out that children's language skills, the three measures were words spoken by an adult, child vocalizations, and turns in the conversation. And they modeled each measure separately and adjusted the results for age, sex, and other factors, such as education and number of children in the home and so on. And researchers found that almost all ages increased screen time squelched conversation and affected language acquisition and language use as a result. So we are programmed. We have programs. We disrespect our own programming. You know, millions of years of evolution led us to a place where we gain information, we gain knowledge, skills, and so on from interacting with other humans,
mm-hmm.
other humans directly, other little animals like ourselves. And we're short-circuiting that by creating the clever, again, our clever monkey brains creating devices
I don't
that,
need that
frustrate our natural abilities to do certain things, abilities that have stood the test of time and now are sort of perilously threatened by.
Think how amazing that is that you've got a baby that's like pretty much a blank slate, yeah. and it can learn language. It can learn, yeah, like tens of thousands of words, 100,000 words,
yeah,
and it can, and the nuances involved, right, in language just by being there and, yeah, listening and interacting.
So let's frustrate that. Yeah. That amazing miracle. Let's make sure we get something in between it and the realization of that possibility. That's what we want to do. What can we do to do that? They found out a few years ago, I don't know if you remember this, but the number of mothers who were using Botox to make their faces more smooth,
right?
Yeah. The weird things we have about age and women in our society. Women were thinking, I need to look younger. And so they're getting these injections, but your face is not as mobile. And it turns out that, again, it's part of the monkey inheritance. Facial expression is a big part of language communication. And if the mother has a Mr. Spock face, it turns out that children don't learn language as well. So yet another.
They learn logic.
Yeah, they learn logic. Yeah, exactly.
So there's a guy in Ohio running for U.S. Senate.
Of course.
Named Bernie Moreno.
And Bernie, yeah, I remember him.
He's Donald Trump's endorsed him. He's a hardline opponent of LGBTQ plus rights and all that stuff.
Yep.
And there was a post a few years ago on a site called Adult Friend Finder,
yeah,
in which Moreno appeared to look for young guys to have fun with and men for one-on-one sex. And now,
pardon me while I politely yawn at the inevitability of that piece of information.
No. It wasn't Bernie. It was an intern. It was the old overzealous intern.
I see.
A former intern says that he wrote it as an aborted prank. It was, uh-huh, just a joke.
Of course it was.
He said it was a joke I tried to pull on my friend and former boss.
Yeah, my very close friend.
Yeah. Nothing else. So it was just a joke.
Yeah, it was a prank.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Excellent.
He wasn't looking for men.
Who's punking who here?
Travel across the country.
Not at all. Speaking of which, a little more serious note, there was a court settlement. I don't know if you heard about this on Monday down there in good old Florida, United States of the future.
Oh, no.
The famous Don't Say Gay bill.
Yeah.
Plaintiffs brought a lawsuit against the state. And but there was a settlement. It was a settlement between the state and the plaintiffs. And both sides say they won, which I guess is okay. But I actually think that the plaintiffs won, and here's my reason for thinking that. The whole idea behind the bill was to make it confusing. People weren't sure. The vague language scared a lot of students and parents into thinking that, for example, they couldn't create art depicting their parents if they were same-sex, or teachers thinking they couldn't bring a photograph of their partner, or, you know, husband, wife of the same sex to school or whatever, because again the language was so vague. So the state claims that it shows that the willful misrepresentation of the law that opponents had put out there was incorrect and that the law is standing. But the people who were the plaintiffs said, no, this is exactly what we wanted. We want to know that we can say these things in classroom. It's not "don't say gay." And so they basically qualified and refined the language. The settlement says that students and teachers are allowed to talk about sexual identity and sexual and gender orientation in public schools. It just can't be part of a formal classroom instruction. So basically they can't be trying to advocate some position on the issue. But still, this was a significant win for
that's
the plaintiffs
good.
Because the idea was to scare everybody into thinking that,
right, oh, that's the whole
this
point
could never
it.
Come, yeah, up. That's why it was intentionally vague.
Yeah. It was a joke.
It was a joke. It was all a joke. That's right.
Speaking of Florida, the Centers for Disease Control has found measles in 17 states now.
Wow. Wonder why. RFK Jr., what's your theory? Obviously, those vaccinations are causing it.
Just in Indiana, there were 35 cases a week ago, and now there's 45 cases.
It's funny how that works.
Yeah, so. Also, you know what's making a comeback? Leprosy.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh. But it's like, how far back in the Wayback Machine are we going to go? I mean, syphilis is the worst it's been in 80 years, right? So why not? You know, why not leprosy? Okay. Here in the Middle Ages, as the billionaires rule us
it's
all.
It's now a growing challenge in parts of North America. Leprosy is beginning to occur regularly within parts of the southeastern United States.
Oh, well, there's a surprise.
Most recently, Florida has seen a heightened incidence of leprosy, accounting for many of the newly diagnosed cases in the U.S.
Oh, man. I had some friends who, for job reasons, were living in Atlanta for a while, and it's a husband and wife I knew many years ago, very close friends, and since drifted away. But they were, when they first moved down there, it's like, now let me ask you a question: why didn't Lincoln just let them go?
Sherman had a good idea.
Sherman had a good idea. Exactly. Hey, you know, you and I learned as we were growing up that Pluto is a planet.
Yeah.
And now it's no more.
And a dog.
Yeah. And I was challenged by this last summer because I was always told when I was growing up that the largest creature that has ever lived on the face of the earth, ever existed, was the blue whale.
Yeah.
And I was very worried last summer because according to a group of paleontologists, they had found a gigantic ancient whale that was supposedly bigger than a blue whale. It was called Parasitas.
The bluer whale.
It's the bluer whale. And it was supposed to weigh over 200 tons, which would have made it the heaviest animal that had ever existed.
Yeah.
But there's a new study that just came out, and this is a guy by the name of Nicholas Pyonson. He's a paleontologist at the Smithsonian. And another person by the name of Ryosuke Motani, who's a paleontologist at the University of California, Davis, concluded that Parasitas probably only weighed about 60 to 70 tons.
Oh, wow.
It's only about the size of a sperm whale.
Big deal.
Whatever. So they analyzed fossils of blue whales, and they provide a new estimate of the weight of that species.
That's a big margin of error there.
That it is. And then they concluded that the blue whale weighs up to 270 tons. So that's part of the issue is they've got more accurate assessments of how heavy a blue whale is.
Mm-hmm.
And then they looked at the Parasitas.
That's after eating.
Exactly. Thanksgiving dinner
with
at the blue
on.
Whale house. Yeah, exactly. So the Parasitas first came to light back in 2010. And it's called the Parasitas because it was found in Peru. It was actually found in a Peruvian, what is now a desert. And they found 13 vertebrae, 4 ribs, and part of a pelvis.
How did a sea or a lake or an ocean turn into a desert?
I don't know. God probably did something.
Oh, okay.
The leader did it. I think that's what it was. Any rate, but now it's a desert.
Okay.
So, but they this person by the name of Mario Urbina, found this, and they start estimating how big it was, and they modeled the Parasitas after manatees. That was the original idea, Parasitas, and it turns out that was a mistake, and it turns out that only whales have evolved to truly gigantic sizes.
Wow.
So the blue whale is still the winner and champion. So
I don't think I could take my world being rocked
anymore. Yeah, I know. Pluto was enough for me. The blue whale is still the champion.
Yeah.
So
it's like when they gave a new name to the brontosaurus.
I don't even know what it is.
I don't either.
Allosaurus, I think?
I never adapted to it. It's like, no, it's a brontosaurus. Yeah. It's right there in the Flintstones. It's in that documentary.
Flintstones. Meet the Flintstones. That's where I got all my paleontological knowledge from. Wilma, let me in. Open up this door. it's a living.
There was a study on anti-piracy messages, digital piracy.
Okay.
And it found that the messages were fairly effective on women. Women kind of got it.
Sure.
And on young men, it made them want to steal more.
Do it more. Yeah, of course it did.
I think they had anti-smoking things like that a long time ago, too, that were like actually made it, increase the smoking.
I saw an ad campaign
a while ago,
were talking about if you smoke, it'll affect your ability to get an erection. That seemed to work.
See, they got
to
do stuff like that. It's like, well, I mean, you can't go to a teenager and say, in 40 years, this is going to you know, give you a tumor. Yeah. It's like, eh.
I'm going to be dead by then, old man.
Well, and most teenagers are so nihilistic anyway. Yeah, right. Like, yeah, I'm not going to live that long, or yeah, I don't care.
Dries your face out. That's another one.
Yeah, I mean, you got to say stuff like that.
Stuff that makes sense.
Yeah. they found ones that that say it makes your clothes smelly. Are effective. I mean,
it does do that.
Because it's like immediate. You don't have to wait 40 years to see the impact.
Can't taste food very well.
Yeah.
Just want to mention that the state of Virginia is ending legacy admissions at all public universities.
Really?
Yep.
Cool.
Good for them. This is under House Bill 48. Public universities in the Commonwealth of Virginia will be barred from giving preferential treatment to applicants based on their connections, not only to alumni, but also to donors.
Oh.
So, yeah.
That's big.
Yeah. So, you know, Rodney Dangerfield is going to have a hard time getting into university now. So universities can no longer give an advance to applicants whose relatives make donations to schools. And critics of preferences have said for years that this is crazy. And so now it's illegal in the state of Virginia. The ban is going to mostly affect, notably it's going to affect University of Virginia and William & Mary, which are, of course, very selective public schools. Virginia Tech already announced last year that it's no longer going to have legacy. So the law was passed unanimously in the House of Delegates and in the State Senate and will take effect on July 1st.
Oh, nice.
That's putting your money where your mouth is there.
Well, I know you like Amsterdam, so I brought this story in just for you.
I do like Amsterdam.
So they don't like nuisance tourism.
Oh, yeah.
As you know.
As I've seen.
As you've seen.
I've seen nuisance tourism, yes.
This article says they're trying to dissuade British lager louts.
Oh, my God, yes.
And also there's a ban on smoking cannabis in public, and the bars close at 2 a.m. So they've got a new approach that says using typical Dutch bluntness in an online quiz that aims to see who of these people want to visit the historic city for anything less than its full beauty and his history. They have a questionnaire you have to fill out. It says, would you like to buy cocaine? And another one asks, would you like to explore the city with a drink or a split joint in your hand?
Spliff, yeah. That's the British. Yeah.
Okay. So anyone wanting to organize a pub crawl is met with the message, this is going to be a hassle. It is forbidden.
Yeah.
And so for the record, is buying drugs from street dealers.
That Bolden.
Or wandering the cobbles while smoking cannabis or drinking beer.
Yeah.
Those clicking yes to the question, would you like a guided tour among sex workers' windows, are also told that is no longer an option.
Mm.
So they're laying it right out there. It's like, don't come here if you want to be a drunken lout.
Companion and I experienced that directly once when we were in one of the times we were over there. We were in Newcastle and we were coming back to Amsterdam, to Port of Amsterdam. And it was a ferry basically, but it was like a floating casino is what it was, and it was just filled with Brits all, you know in their cups, and we got there and you had to take a bus from the port to the main part of town, to the central station where the train station is and so on, and there were some there were some gals on there and they were all drunk. It was early morning. They apparently been drinking all night and were keeping it going, and they opened the windows and they were yelling out, "Hey, love!" Every man that walked by. I mean, they were like hanging out the windows. It was super embarrassing. And, you know,
6'5" guys out tending their tulips.
Yeah, exactly. And so I turn around and send a very loud voice, "Someone should hose those girls down," I said.
and get off my lawn.
I think they got the message.
Oh,
but,
that's funny.
Yeah, it was so funny. I had two packs of girls when we were there. There was that one, and then companion and I were eating at a Chinese restaurant in Newcastle, and this mob of just like totally drunk gals came up to the window, and they were making all kinds of faces and stuff at us while we were eating. And so it was so funny. I just looked at them, you know, because I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I took my finger, and one of the girls had her nose right on the glass, and I just went, boop. I know, like, her nose was in this side of the glass. And they all thought that was hysterical.
That's pretty funny.
And then they all kind of like just busted out laughing and then they walked off.
I guess it's something a baby would laugh at.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I didn't know. I mean, they were acting so goofy. I thought, well, I'll be goofy too. Why not?
Good,
you know?
Very
but
good.
That apparently was the right response. So
good.
That was when I had the spicy duck tongues. Did I ever tell you about that?
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
that was that was the restaurant where we had the
spicy
40
duck
spicy duck tongues.
Yeah.
Yes, on a little nest. And you ate them like one at a time. That's like, that's real Chinese food there.
And you had to select them yourself, too. It's like,
well, they were covered with sesame seeds. To give
right,
them
you
little,
said they were bumpy or something.
Yeah, the way you had to, you know, they had a little muscle in it. You had to kind of suck the, it was a way too much work, basically, for just the little tiny bit of meat you got from it, but whatever.
The weird stuff we eat.
Yeah. That was my all tongue review. I'd had tongue in the Netherlands too, like the big cow tongue.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? The great thing about tongue is you lick it, it licks you. Yeah. You know what I mean? Nice symmetry there.
The National Park Service is gearing up to remove nearly 160 cherry trees in Washington, D.C. in an effort to repair the city's deteriorating seawalls, the agency announced. What they should do is dress those guys up like George Washington.
There you go.
And have them go cut the cherry trees down. That'd be a great tourist attraction.
Then they'd lie about it.
I didn't
That's where we are today.
I didn't do that. Joe Biden did that.
Joe Biden made me. Hey, I just want to mention that David Mixner died last week. David Mixner, you may remember him. He was a big friend of President Clinton, and he was a gay activist who had originally had to start in politics as an anti-Vietnam War protester. He worked closely with Senator Gene McCarthy back in 68 and had met President Clinton when he was a young scholar, Rhodes Scholar at Oxford.
I'm sorry, who was that?
His name is David Mixner.
Okay.
And he had invited Bill Clinton to a meeting of a group of gay activists back in 92 when Clinton was running for the presidency the first time. And it was the first time that a person running for president of the United States ever appeared before a gay group. And he later was unhappy with Clinton for a variety of reasons. Many were. But over time, after, you know.
Ask, don't tell.
Yeah, yeah. Don't ask, don't tell. You'd be surprised by that. But yes, that's exactly what it was. But eventually they healed the rift, although I have to say that he did not support Hillary. He very pointedly supported Barack. So, but anyway, so David Mixner, he was a sort of behind-the-scenes kind of activist who did a lot of work, both first originally against the war in Vietnam and then for gay rights.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Cool. There's a brief exchange from a hearing at the Minnesota State Legislature. And it must have, I think it was on airline safety or something. And this woman was testifying, and she says, "My name is Laura Hayner.
Okay.
I'm a Minnesota resident and a Minneapolis-based pilot for Delta Airlines." And then GOP State Senator Gene Dornick replies, "Can you tell me what a typical work week looks like for you as a stewardess?"
Oh, a stewardess. And what did the pilot say?
She said, "I'm a pilot."
Oh, man. That's like the Barbie movie where Ken comes into the real world and he goes to the doctor to find Barbie is there. Supposedly something happens to them when they show up in the real world. And there's a woman there and he says, you know, "Can I see it? Talk to a doctor?" And she says, "You're talking to a doctor." No, a real doctor. I am a real doctor. So we can make fun of it in the Barbie movie, but it happens when you're talking to Republicans. Yeah. All right. This is kind of a sad little thing. You probably heard this already, but they've just found the first microplastic in fetuses. That's right. Plastics have been a big game changer for humanity, of course, but plastics are everywhere and forever, and little of them have been recycled. And now we are finding microplastics for the first time in human placentas. So they're microplastics, in case you're curious, are fragments less than 5 millimeters in size, cannot be seen by the naked eye. They're not the same as nanoplastics, for those of you who are plastic followers, but they're smaller. But nonetheless, they don't know. They have no idea whether there's any health effects of plastics, nanoplastics, and so they don't know whether there's any health effects of microplastics. Scientific evidence of the effects of microplastics is limited. But, of course, as it becomes more prevalent, we'll probably be finding out whether we like it or not. A lot of things that we do as humans are giant experiments on all of us, aren't they? We'll find out eventually. How will we find that out? In the field. That's how we'll find it out.
I've always wondered about plastics, like from way back. It's like, this can't be good for us.
Everything now, it used to be in glass, is now plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought some vinegar the other day, and I thought, oh, you know, where's my glass of vinegar, you know? And it's plastic now. It's in a plastic container.
All right, time to declare. The weekend.
Yes.
That's it. I have no idea.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that St. Patrick's Day thing.
Oh, no, please don't. Yeah, I forgot it was St. Patrick's
Day. We beg you.
I forgot it was St. Patrick's Day. You know, I hate to say this because I'm Irish, part Irish, but I'd hate all the Irish stuff. I really do. I hate Irish music and the
my favorite St. Patrick's Day story. The priest that pinched me, and because I wasn't wearing green, I said, "What the hell did you do that for?" He said, "You're not wearing green." I said, "There's a good reason for that." He said, "Why is that?" I said, "I hate the Irish." That shut him up.
All right, we got to get out of here. It's 2:00. You are listening to WRT 89.9 FM, Madison. Pants, great to see you.
Have
a great week, everybody. Stick around. The kiosk is next. And after that, Who Cooks for You with the Real Jaguar, wearing a very spazzy, snazzy.
Or spazzy.
Snazzy Wendy's t-shirt, I think it was. So. Yeah. All right. We'll be back next week. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, March 15th.
This being a reading of the last statement of James Connolly, I quote, "To the Field General Court Martial, held at Dublin Castle, May 9, 1916, we went out to break the connection between this country and the British Empire and to establish an Irish Republic. We believe the call we then issued to the people of Ireland was a nobler call and a holier cause than any call issued to them during that World War or having any connection with the war. We succeeded in proving that Irish men are ready to die, endeavouring to win for Ireland those national rights which the British government has been asking them to die to win for Belgium. As long as that remains the case, the cause of Irish freedom is safe. Believing that the British government has no right in Ireland, never had any right in Ireland, and never can have any right in Ireland. The presence in any one generation of even a respectable